This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, directed to New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining us again. On this week's show, we put the spotlight on the most fierce radio war today. It's taking place on the 38th parallel between North and South Korea. So how does information get into and out of North Korea? We'll tell you how it's done. Then we'll be joined by the president of Open Radio North Korea, a station that broadcasts daily to the North on shortwave with news and information that is censored in North Korea. We have this and more, so stay tuned. Media Network Plus, a propagandist's nightmare. First, here's Keith with a look at some of the headlines from the world of communications.
Radio Vlaanderen International will cease after December 31st. That also means the Wolvertum transmitter near Brussels, operating on 927, will be switched off. Norkring, the owner of the transmitter, said it's unclear if they will put airtime on the market for rent. Mails to them were left unanswered. On RVI's website, they only mention that the service has ceased, while Radio 1 and Radio 2 will be made available via the internet and satellite. The All Pakistan Cable Operators Association declared this week that it will shut down all foreign news channels airing anti-Pakistan content. The decision to shut down the channels comes after a media uproar, both locally and abroad, following a NATO airstrike that killed 22 Pakistani troops near the Afghan border. During a media conference in Lahore, the operators named the BBC as one of the channels to be closed down, citing their documentary Secret Pakistan as one of the reasons for the decision. The two-part documentary series, which aired in Pakistan, explored accusations by CIA officials and Western diplomats that Pakistan was failing to live up to its alliances in the war on terror. President of the All Pakistan Cable Operators Association, Khaled Arang, also demanded that Pakistan Electronic Media Regulatory Authority revoke the landing rights of any foreign media news channel that was running anti-Pakistan propaganda. "We want to send them a strong message to stop this. If they don't stop this, then it is our right to stop them," said Mr. Arang. China's broadcasting regulator announced this week that it will ban airing commercials during TV dramas from January 1, 2011, reported the Xinhua News Agency. The State Administration of Radio, Film and Television, or SARFT, announced there will be no spot announcement during TV dramas from the beginning of the year. According to the report, SARFT is demanding that television stations at various levels change spot announcements, which have already been made for next year's schedule. The ban is part of SARF's efforts to regulate the country's TV commercial sector. Last month, SARF ordered a ban on sex-related commercials on radio and television. And finally, community radio stations across Latin America are increasingly faced with the problems of censorship and physical violence. Reporters Without Borders has issued an alert drawing the attention to the increasing attacks on these stations during October and November. The problem is especially alarming in three countries: Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile. The causes and those responsible for the attack vary from country to country. In Argentina, the interest of landowners contrasts sharply with those of the community radio stations that defend the rights of small farmers. In Bolivia, the attacks stem from national institutions and political powers. In Chile, attacks tend to come from other media outlets that do not respect the work of these small stations. The purpose of the alert that Reporters Without Borders has launched is to offer solutions and ways for these stations to resume their work. They are non-profit radio stations organized by communities and social groups, campesinos and indigenous people, among others, that defend freedom of expression, protection of the environment, and interests of the most disadvantaged sectors of society. A special thank you goes to Andy Sennett at the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands Worldwide. For more information on these stories and others, visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll find a link to them on our homepage.
For those who have never heard that song, it's the national anthem of the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, also known as North Korea. The DPRK is one of the most tightly controlled nations in the world. Everything, from television and radio to newspapers and film, just about everything in North Korea needs to go through the propaganda department of the Workers' Party. What about the internet, you ask? Well, recently a couple of internet cafes opened up in Pyongyang, but this offers limited access, mostly to only North Korean sites. Social networks like Facebook, Twitter, and others are blocked. All foreign media outlets are also blocked. So if you said that this is a nation starved for information and news, you would be correct. All radios and televisions in the North are pre-tuned to the state broadcaster. Just owning a radio that would allow you to listen to broadcasts outside the DPRK could either get you fined or sent to one of the country's labor camps. However, this doesn't stop North Koreans from bribing officials so they can buy smuggled radios from China to listen to stations from South Korea, as well as the BBC, Voice of America, and Radio Free Asia. The radio war between North and South Korea is a relic of the Cold War, but it remains as fierce as ever today. For a closer look at this radio war, we have this special report from Martin Williams reporting from the 38th parallel.
North Korea, one of the most tightly controlled countries in the world. Looking across the border from South Korea, it's difficult to imagine living in a place where all the news comes from a single source, where there's no internet, and where listening to an alternative point of view can lead to a death sentence. Officially still at war, barbed wire has divided these two countries for 60 years, but there's one thing that travels unrestricted over the border, radio.
Now we begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
We now bring your main call, Song of General Kim Jong-il.
The airwaves above the 38th parallel are abuzz with activity. From the totalitarian North comes propaganda-heavy state broadcasts, while more than 10 stations in the South target North Korea with independent news, religion, and propaganda of their own. Propaganda radio isn't new. Its roots go back to World War II and stations like Radio Tokyo. Radio Tokyo hoped to influence American troops in the Pacific, and while its success was limited, it and stations like it sparked the use of radio as a way to reach across borders. Such broadcasts reached a peak during the Cold War.
You are listening to radio station Peace and Progress, broadcasting the voice of Soviet public opinion.
Satellite TV and the internet are gradually putting an end to these programs in most of the world, but they're not available to citizens in North Korea, so radio remains an important tool.
자유의 광장 희망의 소리 열린 북한 방송 시간입니다.
Open Radio for North Korea puts out an hour of news and information programming each day from a studio in downtown Seoul.
North Korea is the most isolated place in the world. People don't know what's happening outside of North Korea. It's only just brainwashed by what the regime wants them to believe.
Ha used to help North Korean refugees along the Chinese border, but turned to radio after realizing people in the North were just as much starved of information as they were food.
North Korea, as you may know, well, there is no internet people can use. So I found that the radio is the most effective tool for North Korean people to get the information from outside.
But listening to the stations isn't as easy as tuning the dial. Radios in North Korea come fixed to state broadcasts and must be registered with the local police. But increasingly, people are risking imprisonment and tuning in to foreign broadcasts, according to the stations. Radios with unrestricted tuning are making their way into the country across North Korea's border with China. Potential penalties for having such radios remain severe, but as North Korea's economy has weakened, it's become easier to bribe officials. Today, it's estimated that around 5% of the population listen to foreign broadcasts.
Hey, 청자 여러분, 안녕하십니까? 여기는 워싱턴에서 보내드리는 VOA 한국어 방송입니다. 지금부터 5월 22일 수요일 저녁 방송을 시작하겠습니다.
Seoul, the capital of South Korea, and home to more than 10 million people. This busy, bustling metropolis lies 50 kilometers from the border and is within easy reach of North Korea's powerful medium-wave radio transmitters. But tune along the AM band and there's not a North Korean voice to be heard. Where there should be North Korean radio, there's this. What you're listening to is radio jamming. South Korea deliberately broadcasts this noise on medium-wave channels occupied by North Korean radio so they can't be heard in Seoul. The jamming has been going on for decades on both sides of the border and is another aspect of this battle of the airwaves across the 38th parallel. The South's jamming is largely restricted to easy-to-receive AM broadcasts, but in North Korea the situation is very different. The regime's total control on domestic media make foreign voices a potentially destabilizing force, so the jamming operation is much larger in scale.
Free North Korea!
Free North Korea!
It's early May, and this is Imjingak, about 4 kilometers from the North Korean border. Human rights activists and defectors are here to send bagfuls of leaflets, DVDs, money, and radios to North Korea. Helium-filled balloons will carry them across the border, and timers will release their propaganda cargo. There are several such launches a year, and activists are sure they're working. In late May, South Korea's government restarted propaganda broadcasts along the border that are targeted at North Korean soldiers and immediately drew the ire of the North.
If the South side continues to scatter leaflets and resumes even broadcasting for psychological warfare, we will be followed immediately by tough countermeasures of our honor, including fiscal action.
The effectiveness of the radio broadcasts on the public is difficult to gauge, especially in North Korea. No one knows how many people illicitly listen late at night through the static and the jamming to get a wider view of the world, something that we all take for granted. Reporting from the 38th Parallel, Martin Williams, IDG News Service.
That was Martin Williams reporting. As we just heard, the Korean radio war is as fierce as ever. One of the stations providing information to North Korea is Open Radio North Korea. The station broadcasts daily on shortwave from its studios in the south. It's on the air daily from 14 to 1500 UTC and 21 to 2200 UTC on 7550 and 7510 kHz. The information the station broadcasts is not just about what's going on in the rest of the world. A network of people inside North Korea living along the border with China used Chinese mobile phones to call the South with information via Chinese phone networks. Ha Tae-kyung, the president of Open Radio North Korea, now joins us by phone from their studios in Seoul.
광장 희망의 소리 열린 북한 방송입니다. 열린 북한 방송은 남북 해외의 한민족이 함께 만들어가는 참여 방송 공동체 방송입니다. 북한의 형제들과 대화하고 싶은 사람은
The main purpose of my organization is to promote information flow in and out of North Korea. So for the information in project, we broadcast radio programs toward North Korean people. And for the information out of North Korea. We have a network, personal network inside North Korea who report what's happening inside North Korea to the outside world. So that's why we are running the webpage in Korean, both in Korean and in English, to report the internal North Korean news.
That must be very challenging. I mean, how do you get information outside North Korea? I mean, it's the most secretive country in the world.
It's quite secret compared to other countries in the world. But actually, since about 10 years ago, the control of the regime over North Korean people get weakened. So especially in the border area, the Chinese-North Korean border area, more and more people are using Chinese cell phones because, you know, the signals of Chinese cell phones can reach the border area of North Korea either because, you know, the border doesn't know the barrier of the electric signal. In my office, we call the people in North Korea where they live in the border, Chinese mm-hmm. border. That's one way we contact them. And the other way is we meet them in China as they come out of North Korea, a pretty high-ranking personnel. That's the other way how we contact North Korean people and get information from them.
It must be a very difficult job because you're contacting people that are coming from a place that is very repressive. I mean, do you have a fear in the back of your head that sometimes that the people that are passing along information, their lives or their families could be at risk?
Exactly, yes. It's very risky process. So we are very, very careful about, you know, when and how contact them. We don't freely call them, you know. We set times of when, what time we talk to each other, and then North Koreans give us signals, then we call them. And North Koreans, when they call us, they try to find a pretty safe place where they make a call.
Mm-hmm.
Then the time of you know, talking to each other is not long, you know, less than a few minutes, and then look around and we try to make a call. So it's pretty secret and careful.
Now, with your programs that you're putting together, I mean, it has been done in the past when, let's say during the Cold War period, either targeted towards the Soviet Union or even at China at one point, broadcasters that, let's say, wanted to reach the audience, what they would do is they would hire, let's say, either Soviets or Chinese that had left those countries and try to make the program sound as if they were coming from within the country itself. Do you do that as well? I mean, my question is, do you have North Koreans on staff, and do you try to make the program sound as if people may think that they're coming from the central broadcasting system?
you know, we say them, we broadcast from Seoul, Korea. We don't pretend to broadcast within North Korea. We don't do that. Because it is not fact. We don't make up a propaganda type program. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's journalistic programs.
The announcers that you have on air, are they North Koreans themselves?
We have some of my full-time staffers are North Korean people who defected to South Korea. Yeah, so they have North Korean accent.
Now, with the programs that you're doing, how are you reaching North Korea? Are you using medium wave? Are you using FM or are you using shortwave?
Yeah, we have two shortwave hours program, and we have 1 hour AM and the other 1 hour FM.
Mm-hmm.
All 4 hours a day.
Now, with those programs that you're doing, it must happen quite often that the North Koreans try to jam either the shortwave or AM signals, yes?
They tend to jam in the early period of our broadcast in 2005 and 2006. But nowadays, they don't jam at all. I think the reason is because of the shortage of the electricity. You know, as you know, well, the North Korea suffers from energy issues. So at night, you know, Kim Il-sung statue is shining. The other area is just pretty dark. So they suffer from very serious shortage of electricity. I think it influenced on jamming as well. So jamming costs a lot of energy.
They're probably just not bothering anymore, is what you're saying.
Yeah, especially to us, because there are several radio programs to North Korea. My program is not, as I said, is not very propagandistic type. So some type of radio programs are jammed.
Mm-hmm.
In the North Korean region, but not us.
One final question. What about the funding for Open Radio North Korea? Is it mostly done from private donations?
It is mostly from abroad, not within South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
United States, Europe, and Japan. Private foundation. For example, in the United States, National Endowment for Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, Reporters Without Borders, and about 80% of funds come from outside, about 20% of our fund, you know, come within South Korea.
And that was Ha Tae Kyung, president of Open Radio North Korea, speaking with Keith Perron. Listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard around the world on satellite via the World Radio Network, Sirius XM, and Sky Digital. On shortwave to the Americas on 9955 kHz and to Europe in DRM mode on 7590 kHz from 1830 to 1900 UTC, as well on great partner stations everywhere. If you'd like to contact us here at Media Network Plus, our email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. To hear this program and past editions again, including the monthly 55-minute edition, just log on to www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. Now let's move on to propagation and what we can expect over the next 7 days. Here's Dan Hensley.
From the 3rd to the 8th, we're going to have a steady 10.7 centimeter flux of 145. On December 9th, we'll see a 5-point jump in a 24-hour period to 150. The A index from December 3rd to December 8th will be 5. On December 9th, the A index jumps up 3 points to 8. That's a 3-point jump from the 8th to the 9th in a 24-hour period. The KP index all week from December 3rd to December 8th will be 2. On December 9th, the KP index jumps up 2 points to 4. That's a 2-point jump in a 24-hour period. With the A index being a tad high this week, we will rely on a combination of the KP index and the 10.7 centimeter flux to carry at least medium to reasonable conditions. Several sunspot groups are in sight this week. Sunspot group numbers 1355, 56, 58, 61, 62, 63, and 64. Sunspot number 1361 harbors a beta-gamma magnetic field that may possibly cause M-class solar flares. Summit Station Greenland enjoyed nice VHF-UHF conditions on November 28, 2011, when a coronal mass ejection impact with Earth caused beautiful auroras to appear.
Thanks, Dan. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. Once again, if you'd wish to contact us with suggestions for stories or have a beef or bouquet you'd like to send us, our email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. So on behalf of Keith Perron and Dan Hensley, I'm Paulette McQuarrie, hoping you'll join us again soon. Bye for now.
Media Network Plus has been a production of PCJ Radio International. Yes. Where's my fee? You're kidding. You mean I'm doing this for free? Are you completely insane? Never again will I do you a favor. I am the greatest actor who ever lived.